Hey guys, what's up?
I'm Grace.
And I'm Lucy.
We're coming to you from the studio and you're listening to
The Big
Picture
Podcast. And tonight we're coming at you with
Modern Man.
Hello, hello, Modern Man. Welcome.
Thank you. That was really impressive. You nailed that.
Oh, thanks so much. I guess it's about 2 years now that we've been doing it.
Tears.
Oh, heck yeah. You can say that again.
Yeah.
So, Modern Man, welcome, welcome. Where does this name come from? Who are you?
Who are you?
Originally, where did that come from? I actually don't even know. I like the name, though. Modern Man had a nice ring to it. It evolved into much more than that in the story. Jeez, now I'm on the spot and I got a bag on my head. I don't know what to say.
Modern Man. I think it's kind of intuitive the way you've come up with it, really.
Yeah, it kind of came up.
Makes a lot of sense.
It evolved. Modern is just modern. Man is actually M-A-N. That kind of evolved because I didn't really want to be like man. Like, it wasn't about being a man. I just liked the ring of it, but I didn't want to have that part to it. So essentially man, the acronym is Mass Artificial Nebulae, which is, it's kind of hard to explain, but basically, let me give you my elevator pitch and it will start you off and give you an understanding of where this all comes from. But Basically the story is I'm trying to become the world's biggest country and Western star. And I end up meeting someone, falling in love, and then dying shortly after. After that, I get reincarnated 10,000 years into the future where supercomputer controls all the art in existence. And that's kind of the basis of the story. I don't really know how to tell you more of it without you actually seeing the whole story, but that's the idea. Modern Man kind of ties in with that. It seemed to work for me, but yeah, I guess that's it. That's all I got.
This is awesome.
Yeah. Modern Man is like this multidisciplinary type thing, right?
Yeah, I didn't write the whole story myself. My friend, I don't know if he wants me to say his name. I'll just go by his initials. He'll probably like that. It's BDG. And he was always like writing. And, I kind of like thought of some of the concepts and he made them like nice. He made it sound nice. Because I'm not really a writer in that sense. Like I can write music and I did the drawings and... But it's like, it's starting to become a collective because I realized I couldn't do like this whole project on my own. And, I've had friends help me edit it and just have people read it and give me their input on it. And that's really what's allowed it to grow into what it is. But I do the illustrations and I'd be performing it as well.
That's awesome. Yeah. Illustrations, performance, music, where does it end? You have so many different talents. The fact that you're bringing them all together in one, I think is very unique.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was actually my partner's idea, honestly. They're always saying, you got to, combine all these things into one thing. And I was like, that's a good idea. And it took me, a couple years to really nail down the idea. I had written something for this that I just threw in the garbage. It was a whole story and it just wasn't good. So, but yeah, I mean, it allows me, cause I get bored really easily and allows me to stay interested. See, now that it's done, I'm like, this is kind of good for me because I've started to be bored of it, It looked at it so much, just writing the story, drawing and doing the music. It's kind of, I had to take a break. Now I'm trying to give it some new life and hopefully.
That's so true. Yeah.
Hopefully perform it soon here.
And what does the performance of this look like?
Well, how the story's written is sort of like a journal entry. And which I did that specifically, kind of strategically, because the first story I had written was way too long. And it wouldn't translate into an hour long show. That would be, it wouldn't work very well. So, and then it also it would be hard to reenact. So being journal entries, it's kind of like a reading and then a song and then a reading and then a song. And then in the background, the illustrations and, the lyrics and the story kind of going. So like I have like a vision of what it would be like my ideal set, but for now it's just like a chair and kind of like a story time type performance. And hopefully I can sort of, I never really acted, but I can find a way to sort of be in that character in that moment. That's probably the biggest challenge that I'll have, is like trying to make people believe in that moment it's real. Plus, there's a couple surprises.
Ooh.
I have another character that I did years ago. It's like this kind of electronic music. And it's like, I have this helmet for that too. And so like that'll be like intermission, and it's supposed to be just weird and like hopefully just give people something that, you know, they haven't seen before.
Exactly. Yeah. I love that.
Yeah.
How extravagant. So how long have you been working on this project for? How long has it been now until this point where you're starting to get ready to perform it?
Let's see. Probably 'cause COVID, that's like my reference point now.
Exactly. Yeah, me too. Oh my God, it's so true.
Actually, yeah. Like if you look at my Instagram, when that started, it would probably have been the point where I started like developing it. I think it was 2020 or something. So probably been like 3 years of working on it. And,
Oh, yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Can you maybe read us a part of the story or paint us a picture verbally of like what's happening in this world, the story, what's the...
Yeah, actually the intro is pretty good.
Oh,
it's
yes.
It's kind of like, I'll probably, I don't know if I can read it all because it kind of, the editor that I had kind of took apart and put it here and it makes more sense, but it's kind of hard to read through like well, but maybe just like the first bit. And then the ending will give you an idea. So it starts off, introduction to universal potential and formational dynamics. Welcome. And this would be like, there's a part where I did a animation, like a really simple one, where it's just like my head turning, kind of looks like a 3D, like-esque. Mm. So it's like meant to be like, this is what would be shown to you once you become one of these like beings that exist 10,000 years in the future. This is what you would see coming into that.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
So I'll start that again. So introduction to universal potential and formational dynamics. Welcome. You have been created to expand the consciousness of the nothing. What are you exactly? You are man, also known as mass artificial nebulae, a creative solution to an infinite problem. This is where I'm like,
ooh.
I gotta like work on too. Is like, I don't really like read ever.
I feel how, like I'm in a spaceship right yeah. now listening okay, to this.
No, though, I'm immersed. Picturing
no, I'm loving
it.
This. Okay.
You know what? I'll try to read the whole thing. This is good practice for me. So
this is awesome.
Yeah, we'll close our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Immerse us in your... Okay.
Before you can understand who, what, where, why, and how, you must first understand the nothing. Where does it go? This is where it jumps around and I get confused. Oh, yeah, you know what? Give me a second here. It doesn't help I got this bag on my head, but it's all part of the appeal, you know?
You can see through the one eye.
Yeah, it's not like quite centered.
The lights are all
so
changing.
Just get it out of this one. Yeah, there's like stuff crossed out.
Oh, yeah, I saw the scribbles in the book.
Oh, right. That's because there's like this arrow that goes like here, and then I got to start here. Okay, I got it.
Got it.
All right.
I won't start from the beginning, but I will start from that second paragraph here. Before you can understand who, what, where, why, and how, you must first understand the nothing. Long before me and you, there was only the nothing. It was pure in its absence, but like all things, it needed an equal. A thing in the mirror, an opposite, a reflection. And so the nothing had its first thought. If I am nothing, then there mustn't be anything other than I. Yet I cannot be both nothing and everything all at once. With that thought, the nothing fractured and became many, the everything. The potential of all expression screamed out from the other side of the void. This birthed the everything. You are sitting here because you have been given the ability to perceive a piece of the everything. You are part of the everything. You are the dance partner to eternity. You can think, you can make, you can create, and in doing so, you build the fast faces of all that is possible into the rigid, vast empty. You are man. Your work builds the worlds of new tomorrows, and in doing so, acts as agents of the balance between the everything and the nothing. That's how it goes. So, as also,
so what happens next?
Deep.
What happens after he wakes up in this world and finds out?
That's where it's like, it does jump around a lot. So I think like, it's almost like a bunch of short stories about this person.
Okay.
And,
journal entries, right?
And actually, that ending there, that's kind of why I decided, I think, partially to make MAN an acronym. Because, like, I mean, my understanding is MAN has always been a term for all humanity, not just, you know, male figure in humanity. So I thought, well, I don't want to limit people's, like, ability to put themselves in this character. I want everybody able to put themselves in that. So I changed MAN to an acronym and kind of use that as a way to, like, because I really like the name, but I was like, I don't want to change the name because I like the flow of it.
Interesting, yeah.
Yeah, so that's why that happened. And then, yeah, after that, kind of, like, goes into a little excerpt of, like, this portion where he's, or I guess they've been exiled, and then jumps back into, like, the starting of, like, wanting to become the world's biggest country and Western star.
Oh, that's interesting. It's a jump around like that. It makes me feel so curious. Yeah,
is the music, like, Western-y?
So, like, I really like hip-hop, and I really like folk music.
Okay.
And I had some, like, country kind of sounding songs that I just really liked that I was sitting on. And so that was also why that story became what it was, is that, like, I wanted, again, like, my partner was like, put everything together. And originally I was trying to make, like, country kind of pop, hip-hop songs. But, I mean, Lil Nas X did that best, so I'm not even go there. So, plus, it's not really my style. My style was, like, I like it to sound like this and then this.
Right.
So to try to create that transition from kind of country-western sound-esque to, like, kind of old-school hip-hop, it was, like, this guy trying to do this thing to, like, futuristic world. It kind of, like,
it makes sense.
Yeah, thematically. It really does. It does work, I think, in terms of, like, the story and everything. So I think, really, I just wanted to make an album that had country songs and hip-hop songs, and that was the solution. So
what a balance. What a dynamic between the two.
I mean, it's a hard, like, sell. Because, like, not a lot. I mean, actually, nowadays it's easier, like, and sell just as in, like, who's going to listen to this? Like, not necessarily make money, but who's even going to want to hear this thing? I don't know. But I think there is enough people nowadays that just like a little bit of everything. So there might be people that like it.
And what would you say your goal is with this project?
I think right now it's just, like, being able to perform it at a level that, like, really does a good job of telling that story. And just like, I mean, that's always been my dream. I was always like, I'm always nervous when I play, and I've been getting more and more comfortable. And so just to be comfortable on stage playing it, I'd love to do the Garden Hill Theater. Because it's such, like, it's
incredible.
Like
incredible. Yeah.
I also wish that.
With the projections and stuff too.
Oh. Yeah.
Just be a really cool venue.
Fill up all the seats.
I was just there for burlesque.
Yes, yeah.
And they did a dragon burlesque performance before they showed the movie. And it was really good.
Cool. Oh, yeah, wow.
No, that's like, that'd be amazing. So that's cool, though.
Yeah, you could totally do something like that there.
Oh my goodness, yeah. And with all this going on, I mean, up on a nice stage like this, you already have, like, a costume, you've got music going on inside it, so it's really, like, a performance to be shown on a good stage there, yeah, yeah. With the classicness of the piece and stuff like that, and, like, the country, I don't know why, it just seems like it fits.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is really cool aesthetically. I think that's, like, for me, trying to find a venue has been really challenging, because, like, I also want it to look a certain way and have a certain atmosphere when you're sitting there. you know, enjoying mm-hmm. like listening, because it all, to me, it all kind of ties in with whatever you're doing. Like, I don't know. I found, and there is some like good spots like back in the day that I knew of, but I don't really know, especially with COVID, it like demolished a couple like really cool spots.
So. R.I.P.
Yeah. But I think there's new stuff happening, so.
Oh, you betcha. Yeah, every single day. Yeah.
What? Okay. Do you want to tell us about your other prop that you have rung?
I think it's time.
Yeah, because that really is what the character is. That's what all the drawings kind of look like.
Tell us about this, please.
This is Modern Man. Right.
Yeah, this is Modern Man. There's actually another one.
Oh.
Because like, so this book, now I can get into a little more detail. It's called Programmed Reality, which like it kind of touches on like this. I mean, we see it now and it's like, I mean, the binary, this black and white, everything's, you know, especially in our society, the way things are structured. So originally the supercomputer only creates like two beings, one that's blue like this and one that's pink. And so it's kind of like, by the end of the story, my hope is that people will see that I'm trying to say that that's not a good thing. That it's not necessarily a bad thing, but to channel these things into one or two categories is just not
limiting.
Yeah. I don't know if it communicates that or not. It's, again, it's a pretty broken story, but
I already felt it with just blue and pink, you know, that does have a lot of connotation to it, societal structuring to it that really does deserve to be broken down in some ways.
Interesting enough, like, I think originally when I created these, like, years ago, it was, like, that was my thinking. Like, not, like, consciously, I wasn't trying to do anything, but I just thought.
Part of the story of your evolution, right?
Yeah, I just thought like that, naturally, so. Yeah, but this is the one I've been wearing mostly, but maybe like down the kind of cool part is like down the road I can switch it and do something with that one. Or
that is so funny, because when you're talking about gender studies in general, it's all just saying that we're just wearing masks. We're all just wearing a costume, you know? And by the fact that you can understand that you can just change your mask whenever you want, you can change your costume and the freedom of you doing that. That's a beautiful story in itself, just to show, you know, the freedom that we all have.
That's cool. I didn't think of that. So that's pretty neat.
You did think of it, actually.
Well, I mean,
consciously, you know.
Yeah, it was
artistically.
That way. Abstractly.
You sure did. Yeah.
I mostly just like make things and then just go with it. You know, like it's just kind of out of boredom, maybe. Out of. What's the joy of having something in the end is.
So when you were making the mask that you're wearing now, what were your intentions?
I don't know. I was painting rabbits a lot. I don't really know, thinking back now, why I chose that. I think it's just like, I mean, I always liked rabbits growing up. They're always kind of mysterious. People say often it's kind of Donnie Darko-esque.
That's what I was going to say.
I might even play off that in the story because, like, again, I just kind of made it based off of, I bought this like,
time travel and all that,
I mean, it's definitely like, I could be like, it's just fan fiction, Donnie Darko fan fiction.
I don't know.
Maybe it is, maybe it isn't. But the mask, I was doing these rabbits and stuff, painting them, and they're always kind of creepy and weird. I mean, I was experimenting with substances at that time, and maybe that had an influence, maybe not. I was always a little weird. But basically, like, the shape of it was, I bought this skull mask at, like, a Halloween store and built, like, the clay over top.
Oh, my gosh. I was wondering, it's clay, right?
Yeah, it's Super Sculpey or whatever.
But with, the mask underneath.
Yeah, bought this fabric because I was like, how do I make it so I can wear it? And it's kind of just, like, that's kind of why I did this because it, like, I don't know, it gives it some more. But, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of just like, oftentimes I've always worked with like in my limitations. So like, I'm not like an amazing sculptor, but if I'm shaping it around something else and then like it became a little easier. And so that's how the shape took form, and it just kind of whatever I could get whatever I could make a finished product to. So
the ingenuity, right? Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
It's so much easier to just build off of a mask now, too. I'm like, that's genius, actually. Oh, the true skill of an artist is to work smart, not hard, really. Yeah.
Yeah, well,
tools and tricks are your friend.
Actually, I did a drawing 2 years ago where I couldn't get these two fingers right. So I just, like, had them, like, it worked for the illustration, but they were just cut off with Band-Aids on them after. So,
like, with Band-Aids. Anime.
Yeah. It's just, I don't think there's, like, any such thing as cheating in art, honestly. If you even trace and stuff, if it's original and it's yours and you like it, I think that's all that matters.
Mm. Yeah, the key to art is that it's human.
Yeah.
You know? Full of mistakes, actually, is really where the beauty comes from.
For sure.
So, imperfection. But it'll be your guide.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us about your visual art a little bit more and what that looks like?
What's your process behind making your art?
Like, I always liked street art growing up. That's like, I was like, that's what got me into like drawing, was like kids in my high school that were doing graffiti and stuff. And like, it wasn't really for me. I was like, for one, I wasn't really good, so I wasn't going out there and like spray painting stuff, but like the style and the kids that were doing it, like, really, like, were actually quite open, even though like I wasn't even that good yet. They just like supported me to draw more, and I loved that aesthetic. And then so that kind of evolved into illustrations and things like that. So it's just like line illustrations. And then, like, for the most part, I used to only do black and white because every time I colored something, I just hated it. And this is the first time I added any color, but each one, it's like monochromatic. So there's just one color over top to kind of give it some depth. Cause I found with like just the black and white, it looks cool, but it's also really hard to get that depth in it. Like, it's just like, especially when it's just line work, it's hard to see. Mm. Like, sometimes it's almost like it's hard to look at sometimes, honestly. So
yeah, I feel like it also would give it some style, you know, it's like a stylistic thing too.
Yeah. And so where that goes next, I'm not too sure. I think, I do still need to like push myself or else I get bored. So.
Mm. And you were saying you do work on the iPad and stuff too. So it's mostly digital art.
Now it is. Yeah. Originally, like, I was only pen and paper.
Yeah.
And scan it in, but like, holy crap, that would take so long. Like, I'd be like, I use like specific paper with specific ink pens and would like scan it in, put it into, because I have a bit of a design background too. Mm. I went to school for that. And so I know like the creative suite, and I just like put it in there, vectorize it. And like, but it was like so many steps, whereas like now with the iPad, it's like, it's done. The only limiting thing is like the iPad's still not quite where the other like software was, but no, I like it way more. It's just a lot more freeing too. I can do it on my couch. Like, it's like,
you take it out camping.
Yeah.
Right. It's so portable. All the colors, all the brushes.
Yeah.
Blows my mind.
I wish there was
an iPad like XL version though, for like large drawing. I think that's what's missing for me too. I would love an extra large iPad.
Yeah, I guess like, or something that like you could plug into like
the
desktop and use like Illustrator or something, just to get like that bit higher quality. Because I found like I use Procreate and I find it's kind of limiting. You can only do so many layers if you go to a certain size. And I mean, I might not have just figured it out, but I don't know. But yeah, that's mostly my method nowadays. I used to paint on canvas too, but again, that's just like something I just went away with because I had all these canvases lying around that I ever painted. And I didn't know what to do with them. And it's like,
story of my life.
Yeah. So you're kind of in that same boat, you know, like, I mean, you get rid of the odd one here and there, hopefully. But yeah, sometimes you just have like, it's like, do I paint over this thing or do I keep it or... Yeah, so that was the struggle with that.
So kind of coming back to the book, is this something that you want to like get published and like have at shows, or is the book more of like a personal script for the performance?
No, I'd like to get it published. I actually like plan to print it myself. That's like, you know, I guess that's like the last thing that I really enjoy was I kind of went into printing when I was in my 20s. I worked at a print shop, so I really like appreciate that process. And I kind of mentioned it. I'm kind of working on this print shop. It's like in my, in like a little bedroom, and just like kind of putting out like small run stuff. But that's like a whole nother thing. But yeah, I'd hope to print it myself and just like enough for like small shows, and maybe you buy a ticket, you get the book or something. I don't know.
Yeah, but that would be cool.
That's so cool. Yeah. Have a little like vendor shop open after your show so people can buy merch.
Yeah. Or like some of the drawings as prints and stuff.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That would be so cool.
When do you think kind of like ballpark we would be able to see one of your shows?
I mean, I was like planning for August 19th, but I think I'm maybe kind of pushing it. It's like a little too soon. So we'll see. And like, I had a venue with the guy. I just haven't really been like hitting him up. He's like a real busy guy. It's actually a barbershop.
What barbershop?
It's called Block 105. It used to be Refuge.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And
hairdresser.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah.
So,
oh, that's cool that it's going to be there.
Yeah.
It's like a new space too, hey?
Yeah, I don't know if like he'll be set up in time either though, because like the plan was to do it in the back. He's got like a big parking lot there.
Mm. Oh, cool.
Plus like he just set up, so. But he wants it to be like a place where people do events too. Barber Hall used to be like that, but unfortunately they didn't.
I love Barbara make it
Hoff. Through COVID, I think, and some other. I don't really know the story, but unfortunately, they're not around. But I went to shows there. It's just like
Barbara Hoff actually opened a new shop.
Oh, wicked.
The same people, Trevor and Jen and everyone, B Team Barbers.
Okay.
Across the street from Scona, by Hido Pizza. I work at the beauty parlor across the
way
from Barbara Hoff.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. Anyways.
No, that's good. I mean, I'm glad because
it was a barber commercial.
That was a really cool spot. So
yeah, it was.
But yeah, it seems to have like the right atmosphere there. And but I got to see. I mean, I got to hit him up and I don't know. Usually I just talk to him when I get my hair cut. And that's when we kind of been planning. So, but it's more of a challenge to do it there because like there's no sound. Like I'd have to be doing the sound and everything. So, but it'd just be like, I don't know. I think like I'll take a look at some of the venues, but I don't really know what's out there for venues. So right now, honestly, I think like River City Revival is cool. I mean, Starlight's a little too big, but so it's like kind of like, yeah, I want like the.
Have you thought about the Aviary?
The Aviary.
Yeah, that one's cool. I think that would be like a spot where like, yeah, I don't know. It's
where
like
Sewing Machine Factory.
Is that still, do they come back?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, they keep moving, I think, owners.
You just have to DM this guy on Instagram.
Okay.
And it says nothing about the Sewing Machine Factory in his Instagram.
How confusing.
Yeah, I always like Sewing Machine Factory. I like the Aviary. It's kind of just like,
yeah,
it's a really big venue, which like I'm not really, I kind of want something a little more intimate for the first one.
The Aviary?
Yeah.
If you put all the tables up, though.
That's true.
It's really, like really small. Big.
Well, maybe that's the one. We'll see.
It's nice because the stage is kind of close to the ground. It's really an intimate spot.
It's very intimate.
Same with the Sewing Machine Factory. Yeah. It's very low.
Sewing Machine, too. And that's only 75 capacity. So it's pretty tight.
All right. Well, I keep my options open. So I'll look into it. Plus, having the sound already there is like gonna be a huge like doing the sound and like reading this thing, doing all the stuff I've never done before might be a challenge. So but yeah, I should look into that. I actually couldn't, I was gonna, after like I hit up this barber and hasn't really had a chance to get back to me, and it wasn't that long ago, but it kind of made me think, well, maybe I should check out some other spots, but I couldn't remember what it was called, so thank you. I keep thinking of the Artery, which is
the Artery
like shut down like closed years ago, so thank
you.
Or that comedy bar too.
Yeah,
The one down by your work.
Grindstone.
Maybe. The Grindstone has a great black box theater.
Oh, and it's actually love working is a local. Theater.
We're collab. Why not collab?
See, these collab are spots, yeah, that I forget about.
Yeah, there you go. We're just like a sponsor
of,
right now.
Yeah, speaking
of. I've never actually been to collab, but I want to check it out.
Oh, and Grindstone August 19th, would be perfect. You should come there for Super Summer Fun Fest.
Okay, nice.
Super Summer Fun Fest. Sounds really fun.
Platypus.
They decided, like, what is it?
It's a festival that I'm curating.
You're curating?
Yeah, cool. Super Summer Fun Fest.
Nice.
Anyways, speaking of venues, do you want to tell us about your first experience with the Edmonton arts community?
The first open mic I played was was with Rhea March at, like, what the heck? The place is, like, it's like the Coastline Hotel is where the area, that, like, round hotel.
Yeah.
There's like a building, I think it's like got lit on fire or something recently.
Oh, no.
But they had like open mics there. That was like the first open mic I went to. Rhea March is really good. It's super supportive of like new up and coming artists. So.
And did you perform like Modern Man there? Or did what did you play?
It's just like stuff. I mean, it took me a really long time to like get to a level where I was like, feel like it was actually quality. So at that time, I don't even remember some songs I wrote when I was like 17 or something. Mm-hmm. And like, yeah, I just wasn't confident back then. I didn't really have, but it was a great spot to like just experience like that. And actually Aiden Carufi, I don't know if I'm saying the name right, but they were playing back then too. And now they're playing bass and like a bunch of stuff, does a ton of music. Mm. So
it's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, but then I guess after that, it was Wonder Bar was like the spot. Then after that, like, because Wonder Bar eventually closed their doors. Now it's like Exhale Hookah Lounge or something.
Oh, yeah.
But first show I probably played was at Wonder Bar.
Oh, wow.
But that was like a band that it wasn't bad. I just like we weren't. Weren't quite there.
Cohesive, yet.
Yeah. Maybe could have gone there, but just never kind of fizzled out. So,
yeah.
But now I've just been doing some open mics. It's been going good.
Oh, what open mics are you doing now?
Is that River City Revival?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. They've got a great open mic there.
Yeah. Yep. And then I did Black Bar, but that's gone now, that open mic.
Is it?
Yeah.
Aww. That's too bad.
But they're still doing shows, I think.
Okay, yeah.
Pretty good sound there, too, actually, for such a small space.
Just love a good open mic night.
Yeah. And then I did actually play a show last February with kind of like so there's these guys' names Kyle and Kyle, they're brothers, but they're not.
Kyle
like,
and Kyle.
But they're not from like the same mother. But yeah, Jimmy Burnett's his rap name, and then the other Kyle's No Sir. And Jimmy put on a show for his album at it's like a wedding venue, but they also do shows.
The Foundry. Oh yeah.
And that was a really good show. That was like the first time I played, and I was like, I feel good after that. You know, I feel confident, and yeah. And then it was a cool venue. Though again, not really my like vibes, like. It's like, but they're very accommodating and kind of cool, like patio in the back.
Yeah,
their patio's lit.
Yeah.
So. I was doing some paint night classes there. Well, patio paint night classes, really, where everyone just comes and sips wine on the patio, does a little painting.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so much
exciting.
Yeah. Do you want to tell us who you are listening to locally right now?
There actually is. There's a couple, and like it's not like I just have them on my like songs, and now I can't remember the guy's name. It's Great Scott was like that's the guy's rap name, and then there's a guy that plays with him on saxophone.
Oh, so cool!
I can't remember his name, but he's sick. If I figure it out, I can just look at my phone.
Oh yeah, whatever.
I actually seen the saxophone guy play. Actually, both of them were at this open mic at Black Dog. In the basement. And I was like, this is like a show. This isn't like, oh, they were just like there's like seven people, and there's a saxophone, like trombones and shit.
What's their name?
Let's see if I can find at least the...
I know who you're talking about. I can't remember their name, though.
Let's see here. This is like what Spotify has done to me, though. I can't remember shit, like when it comes to artists. Like,
oh, it's so just, true. I was just saying the same thing the other day.
It's in here somewhere. I know that much.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask.
Yeah, that's I think that's the whole group. And then...
Aiden. Brass Tactics.
I've never seen them.
What? Oh, they're so good.
Depeche. I don't know how to say it. Sorry, I probably bastardized that. But anyways, that one, the people I know, I've been kind of... Jimmy Brunette, he's got a couple albums out. I don't know. It's kind of like after COVID. So not only like did COVID happen, years before that, the scene that I was kind of like a part of fizzled out. Kind of just
moved
like
to Montreal.
Well, actually, it was so Power Buddies was like kind of like they had this spot called Sky Mall, and it was like a house venue that was really big at the time. And yeah, Nolan, one of the guys in that band, went to Halifax, I think, and that kind of seemed to be like. At that time, that was like the core of it and kind of holding it all together. And then like, and then Wonder Bar closed. A lot of these spots that were like places for a lot of the scene to go kind of fills it out. Then COVID happened. And then I was just like, where is everybody? Which is now it's like, I'm starting to tap into some more of the, you know, there's a little bit younger people coming up too, which is good. And like trying to just see,
so
get into that. And then,
people.
You know, and then there's some of the other guys too, that were people that were older still playing that I'm finding again. And it just like, I had a weird spot where I wasn't like, I didn't know what was happening. And but now it's, and actually, yeah, a friend of mine who's a photographer, he was like posting stuff and it was like, I'd forgot this was the only thing, but Sled Island was happening this year. So, and then you're putting on a festival, so.
There's lots happening. People always say, like, there's nothing going on in Edmonton. There's never anything. Like, there's literally, like, multiple shows Thursday to Sunday night at every single venue in the city.
This last weekend was the Found Festival, where they put, like, random bands randomly.
Yeah. Like, and Art Walk and
The Works
Provocateurs played.
Street Performers Festival.
Street Performers is
there was a comedy festival down by the Grindstone. There's a
so
blues festival at Blues Fest. Guys, what the heck?
There's so much going on. It's
y'all
so
are just
lively.
Sitting in your basement right now.
People,
get up and get out there.
Can't leave their houses anymore after COVID.
Oh, but
everyone
honestly, though, they're starting to.
Shows,
it's about
like,
to begin.
They're like, oh, I'm boring. Not going.
I don't have money. Well, nobody really does have money, but it's cheaper to do that than to go to the movies, actually, for the most part, when you think about it.
It's like $15. Stop giving your money to Netflix. Yeah. Didn't we have this conversation last night?
We did.
Yeah. Anyways.
Yeah. I still go to shows, so. But
yeah,
they're
right?
Just kind of sparse.
Yeah.
But
yeah, they're so great.
Well, to all the young artists out there who are struggling with creating or getting out there, or even to yourself, when you were a younger kid, what would you say to just give a little bit of, you know, hope to artists out there?
I mean, it's a struggle, even if you like don't make a career out of it. I've found is that the hardest part, everybody says this, and it's still true, is like you're your own worst critic. And like, I've been getting in my own head. Like I actually wanted to quit making music at the beginning of COVID. And then but if you have that urge to make it, just make it regardless. And don't worry about whatever. Like if you got to just sit alone in your room to make it and not show people, I think that's okay, because that's what I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, at the end of the day, whether or not people ever really see this project or get something out of it, it's still something that I hold dear and I'm happy that I made. And you know, it's still something to build upon too. And I can always keep, that's the beauty of art, is that you can never, you don't have to stop. That was the one thing. Like I liked, you know, I liked playing sports. I played basketball growing up. I liked those things, but there always felt like there was like a limit to it, which actually even that I can go play on the court and just have fun. And that's like, that's the goal. And if you do that, I mean, it's what they, it's the stuff they tell you when you're like 5 years old that you end up is true later in life. So yeah, just don't stop making stuff and do it for yourself. And
don't stop creating. That's exactly what I tell everyone all the time. Don't stop. I love that. Thank you so much.
And how can people find you? How can they hear more about your project?
It's all just through Instagram. I find that to be like the most.
Yeah.
I can like talk to people through there. I don't actually, I shut my comments off. Not for any other reason. If just you get these like bots and shit, like
you should say that again.
Send it to like Hip Hop Daily, and it's like, dude, I don't care about this shit. And most people just like say stupid stuff to those. I'm just like, it kind of like makes to me. It kind of, I just don't like it, so I just turn the comments off. But you can DM me. Modern Manifesto is the. I think there's a dot in there, so modern dot man dot Manifesto.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Well, that's so perfect.
Thank you so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank I cannot for wait for your show to be a thing. I can't wait to see this.
Yeah.
I want to hear the music. I want to see the costumes. I want to see it all.
I feel like we got a good taster. I'm like,
yeah.
Let me see it.
Yeah. Well, it's still a work progress, but I'll let you know.
That's awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming on the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
We loved having you. This was fantastic getting to know a little bit about your project. And yeah, you have anything else to say, Grace?
No, it's all.
Well, thank you so much. Yeah, and good night.
We out.